Two ladies who are going to be talking are Vera Gibbon, now Lowe, and Nesta Merrills, both ex-pupils of Dr. Williams School.
Dorothy Davis, known as Dodo.
Yes.
Well, she was very rigorous. She used to march into the classroom in the afternoons when we had her. We had her for a double call, but once a week we had to write an essay spontaneously. She would announce the subject as she came in and sit down at the desk, and we had silence from her. We all sat in silence and we waited. So it was quite difficult. And then, of course, we handed our books in and she marked them according to her strict rule. I remember once getting 9 out of 10 for an essay on the subject of hats. I started writing about pork pies, which were also known as a kind of hat in my day. And I don't remember much of the rest of the essay, but at the bottom she puts 9 out of 10. Do not, but somewhat peculiar style, do not develop it further.
Literature more than language lessons. The range of books that she used to speak about, and also our choices of books, particularly when we were in the library. Two, like Vera, remembering poetry, and having to learn poetry by heart, and present.
Third.
Yes.
I remember her three principles in essay writing. The first paragraph should catch the eye,
yes,
and make you want to read. The
That's
substance
right.
comes in the middle, and then a summary at the end.
Yeah.
What I find so fascinating is that she taught you books, and she taught my friend's mother, who would, if she was still alive, be 106 now, and she was a teacher, making the same sort of impact on that lady who told me about it. Absolutely amazing. And she didn't stop teaching, we think, till about 1960. So, it was just wonderful, really. You mentioned elocution, Nesta. Was this as part as a lesson?
It was a lesson. It was a timetable.
Right. And was that Doe again?
In the first 2 years, no, it wasn't. It was the drama teacher.
Ah.
You could go for elocution as extra lessons, which I didn't have. I just had them as part of the timetable. And it was very interesting for me because I couldn't speak English until I was 8, and therefore. Although my parents spoke English, but at home we spoke Welsh, and most of their friends were Welsh. But I do remember not being able to speak to a daughter of a friend of my family during the coronation. We'd gone there, they had a television, so we were allowed to go there to have them watch it. And I couldn't exchange conversation or anything with this girl. Mm. And so that made me very aware. And then when I got to school, there were a lot of boarders from England, and they used to laugh at some of my pronunciation of English words. And the biggest example of this was were and where. You know, we were in the garden. We were in the garden. We were in the garden. Oh, no, we say, we were in the garden. You know, ear and year.
I don't know.
Well, had the swimming pool arrived when you...
No, the money was being raised when I was there. It arrived when I was in the lower fourth, I think. The lower fourth or the fourth.
In the day when Miss Licky's used it, and then there were times when the rest of the staff could use it, but it was lovely to have that.
I remember the fundraising, and I remember the grand opening.
Yes.
And my friend next, in fact, did this beautiful dive.
Now, I think you've got something else to tell us about music in the school.
Well, it had a very strong influence in the school when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had two who taught. One was called Miss Ingram, and one was Miss Dodd, who married a grammar school master, Mr. Thomas, I believe. Mm-hmm. I was taught by Miss Ingram. She was older than Miss Dodd. But I thoroughly enjoyed being taught by her. I hadn't been there very long before she gave me the full use of her music cubicle when I had free time. And so I was able to experiment with music. We also had, I learned, by the way, a lot of Chopin that I'd never heard of in my life before. And Russian music, Spanish music, it was wonderful. I liked ballet, so it all fitted in. But we also had a lot of visiting people from outside, harpists. We had the Meistersingers, I think, for one time, a group of men, wonderful voices. But we also produced quite a lot, Hiawatha, where I had to play the timpani because I was the only one who could tune them, which was rather disappointing, but very satisfactory to people. But also Comus, Sabrina, there were other musical things. We had sort of concerts for one type of composer, like we had a Brahms concert, and we had old English masters. They were all actually, and things were a Brahms bass, which was very uninteresting really, but that very necessary to a knowledge of music. I'm very happy with music. And when I met Miss Nightingale eventually, many years later, she identified me as having been musical. That was very satisfactory.
And Miss Nightingale, would you like to
speak? About Miss Nightingale?
Yes.
No, a marvellous woman. A very calming influence in school. She was a Quaker. It may have a lot to do with that. And we had no punishments. We were expected to behave well. We owned up if we'd done something wrong, which is something I had not experienced before. If some of the job mistress, as they used to call them, said, "Who did that?" or "Me like that noise," you put your hand up and said, "I did." And then possibly one other girl would say, "Well, it was my fault. I really did first, and she did it, and we were both really wrong." It was something I had never experienced about owning up or saying sorry, which is very important. And I do say sorry